Good day and welcome to the analyst call with Magnet CFO. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Albert. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our today's call. With me to review our results and update you on the recent development is our CFO, Dmitry Ivanov. You have seen our full year 2020 audited financial results on Monday, which came fully in line with what we reported in February under management accounts. We will not focus a lot on the results itself, and we'll provide you just a very quick overview, but spend more time on the update on recent development. With that, I would love to hand over the call to Dmitry. Dmitry, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Albert. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's call. As Albert just said, we will focus a lot on our results, which we disclosed on Monday, which, by the way, came fully in line with what we reported in February, but more focused on recent trading. But let me provide first a quick review of our key achievements in 2020. Last year, we focused on improvement of sales density across all formats, and we achieved 6.5% growth. We focused on profitability regain, and our EBITDA margin improved by 100 basis points last year. So we finished the year with EBITDA margin of 7%, thanks to gross margin improvements and strict SG&A control. We also focused on significant improvements of working capital cycle and released 30 billion rubles of cash. As a result of some deleveraging, improvement of cash flow generation, and low CapEx spend, we finished the year with free cash flow of 85 billion rubles and almost double ROIC on the whole business, while return on investments on stores opened in 2020 stood at around 40%, which was net of COVID impact. And now we enter 2021 with a completely different financial position without any pressure from that side. Flexibility of our balance sheets allows us to continue with a combination of fast expansion, investments in efficiency projects, IT infrastructure, supply chain, and very strong cash generation and cash position, which may lead to continuous strong dividends payments. Now let me talk about recent trading, which is very important and positive. Strong momentum continued since the start of this year. January delivered solid like-for-like sales growth, which were in line with Q4 average when we reported 7.5% like-for-like growth. Total sales growth also remained double-digit. In February, strong trend continued with further acceleration of like-for-like sales growth above January and above Q4 average. Please note that January and February came on a much stronger base with mid-single like-for-like sales growth in the same month last year. March last year was the strongest month with record high double-digit like-for-like sales growth due to stockpiling effect on the back of the pandemic. During the first 2 weeks of March this year, again, we saw further acceleration of like-for-like sales growth versus previous months. In the last 2 weeks of March, we'll face a tougher base for comparison. It's logical, while we see that as more technical effect rather than structural. For example, looking now at our daily statistics, daily trends, we have the same absolute level of sales as we saw in February. Like-for-like ticket growth was driven by growth of number of items in the basket, trading up trend, and on-shelf price inflation. Inflation in January and February remains almost unchanged. If you look at more details, strong results observed across all formats with convenience and drogery segment leading the race. Convenience stores show double-digit like-for-like sales growth. and notably our large formats, delivered strong trading in a positive zone with acceleration versus previous quarter. Moscow region delivered the strongest like-for-like sales growth in January and February. At your stores, and not new stores openings entering like-for-like panel, remain drivers of like-for-like performance. So our total sales growth is predominantly driven by improvements in the mature stores rather than new square meters. Selling space growth accelerated following speed up and expansion and currently stands at 4% growth year on year. These quarter-to-date results came without any acceleration in promo intensity. This is another very important factor. Promo shares percent of sales went down versus previous quarter being flat year on year, but sales continued accelerating. As a result, we see quite healthy development of margins, which is in line with our expectation. Margin is supported by better commercial conditions, lower promo, lower stock losses, and strict control on SG&A. So we are not burning money in promo. And now a couple of words on the balance sheet. With the recent 10 billion bonds redemption in February, our upcoming refinancing and repayment needs this year stand at 3.2 billion rubles, which is about 2% of our total debt portfolio. So compared to last year, we see no pressure at all from debt side. Cost of debt is now on the historically low level of below 6%. 99% of our debt is long-term with fixed rates. So we are well secured from any fluctuations on this side. It was about cash flows, mostly with focus on working capital. Working capital remains one of our strategic priorities and is, in fact, one of my KPIs as company CFO. We continue with all our initiatives aimed at faster inventory turnover days, high payables and all receivables, and current results are encouraging. Inventory is almost flat versus end of December, and lower versus first quarter of 2020, despite double-digit sales growth. As a result, stock days improved by almost 6 days versus last year, driven mostly by grocery stores inventory. Receivables are lower than the same period of last year, despite higher sales, driven by overdue control and faster documents collection. Payables are higher than in the same period of last year, driven by turnover growth and better payment days. Now I would like to briefly update you on the status of ERP implementation, which is one of the drivers of our long-term improvements, including working capital. Now we are finalizing blueprint design for all three functional projects, goods movement system, finance integration, and HR. And we plan to do this by end of March. And in the beginning of April, we are going to start the realization phase in parallel for all three systems. And in IT projects, we are in the process of integration bus realization. Pilot rollout is planned for fourth quarter of 2021 across stores located in the South region. And after pilot, we plan wide rollouts across all geography with 250-300 stores per week with simultaneous implementation in our DCs. With such pace, implementation will take around 3-4 years from now, including all stores and DCs. And finally, short update on our e-com results. Magnet Online Services today cover over 1,400 stores in 98 cities and 59 regions. We fulfill about 9,000 orders per day. Annualized GMV run rate of our online segment stands at 3.3 billion rubles. Convenience store-based express delivery has the highest sales and shows the best growth dynamics. We deliver from 29 stores in Moscow, including two recently launched mini dark stores. Average ticket for Magnit's own express delivery service in Moscow is over 1,300 rubles, and almost 2,000 rubles for regular delivery mission in Krasnodar, which is around 4-6 times higher than in offline convenience stores and much higher versus average ticket of express delivery by our partners. It means that customers use Delivery Club and Yandex Eda to buy food for now or ready meals ready to eat while they order directly via Magnit for stock-up purposes. Thank you for listening, and now we are ready for your questions.
Dmitry, thanks a lot for the update. As you've heard, we are running now above our internal expectations and see continuous strong momentum. So, operator Cecile, we are ready for the questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone to. We now have a question from Maxim Nurkrasov from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much for this call. I have a question. I have a few questions, actually. And the first one is on your margins. So basically, shall we expect that the margin profile that you saw basically last year, which is about 7%, should be sustained in the first quarter and going forward? That's the first question. And the second one is basically on the drivers of acceleration of like-for-like growth that you saw, basically like this continuous acceleration since January. What were the key drivers of that? Yeah, I'll probably stop here for now.
Hello, Maxim. Thank you for these questions. So let me start with margins. Yes, you're right. We finished last year with 7% EBITDA margin, and we see it as a new sustainable level for us, and so we plan to stick to this level in the beginning of 2021. And this is, by the way, reflected in our budgets and in our models. Why we think that this level is sustainable? As we already disclosed and explained during CMD and other calls with analysts, we have several drivers which can help us to sustain margin level at 7 or above 7%, which are steadily increasing sales densities, which help us with increased volumes to negotiate better buying conditions with suppliers. Also, we see that we have still the fastest growing segment, which is cosmetics, in our portfolio. And as you know, cosmetics segment is segment with the highest margins. Also, what we see now in current statistics and in current trading and in our current financial results, because we already closed 2 months, we see further improvement in stock losses. It will be, I would say, continuous driver of margin improvement. We see some progress in private label penetration growth, and of course, as our new normal is a strict control of on the G&A. Yeah, all these components make us confident on sustainability of our margin going forward. And if you look at like-for-like drivers, what are the key drivers of such fantastic performance on high base of last year? First of all, as I mentioned already, like-for-like is driven by improvement in old mature stores, which were opened before 2019. And this growth is driven by improvement in stores. We call it CVP, customer value proposition. What does it mean? It means improvements in all components which make our customers happy with our stores. It's wide assortment, quality assortment, freshness, clean stores, safety stores, good look and feel, clear navigation, friendly cashiers, no queues. So all these small things are helping to drive customer loyalty and attract more customers in our stores and resulted in good sales at least. And we see this in our statistics when we're looking at traffic and tickets. We see that in our tickets there is increase in number of items. So we have volume increase. We also see how our customers perceive change in our assortment, because we see trading up effect. So customers are trading up to Magnit. So they appreciate change in assortments, new ranges, extension of needs in assortment. They like it. Inflation is another driver, but I think it's at lesser extent, so because it's stable. It is not changing.
Very clear. Thank you very much. Just one. Yes, Albert.
Please. Follow up, please.
Just a small technical question on your LTI expenses that actually went down last year. So what is the outlook for LTI expenses for this year and going forward, just to put it on models?
Maxim, all the details of the LTI program are well disclosed in our annual report and other public documents. So you can see that the trigger for the first part of the LTI is EBITDA CAGR, and the trigger for the second part is stock price. So at the moment, right now, I cannot provide you a quantification of the whole LTI expenses for this year, as it's a bit too premature to calculate. According to the program, we'll be able to provide you the details, and you will see that at a bit later stage.
Let me add to this, Albert and Maxim. You're absolutely right that in 2020 we have some decrease in this P&L line. It was driven by two things. First of all, change in management structure. We have some outflows and inflows, and newcomers receive lower portion of LTI comparing to those who left, because they worked less comparing to those who left. And also, we have quite a strict rules for and triggers for LTI achievements, and practically for 2019, we didn't meet these rules, these triggers. And therefore, there was some reversal of the rules for LTI.
Understood, very clear. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Henrik Herbst from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. I had two questions, please. Firstly, just follow up on margins. And I mean, you talk about margin as sustainable at 7%, but at the same time, you're guiding for margins trending towards 8%. So why are you just saying they're sustainable and not, and why shouldn't we expect margins to improve? I think everything else you're saying as well would imply that margins are sort of improving, right? Like for like sales are very strong. You're seeing better execution leading to essentially lower shrinkages and things like that. So just to, I guess, do you see upside to the, do you see 2021 margins improving versus 2020, versus 7% in 2020? And I guess more specifically, so far in Q1, is the margins improving versus Q1 last year? And then secondly, I just wanted to check as well. I didn't really hear what you said. I think you said something about your expectations for the last 2 weeks of March, and I just wondered if you could please repeat that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Henrik, thank you for your question. So let me start with margin clarification. We are talking about our margin expectations for first quarter of 2021. And we expect it will be in the direction of 7%, and for sure it will be much higher than margin of first quarter of 2020, driven by factors which I mentioned before. And if you talk about 8% margin is our strategic ambition, which we plan to deliver steadily over the next few years, gradually improving all components and adding every year from 15 basis points to 25 basis points. And of course, for full year 2021, we expect, and this is in our models and plans and budgets, to deliver higher margin than 7%, higher than we achieved in 2020. With regard to sales for last 2 weeks of March, if you remember, there were two big impacts last year. First one, it was somewhere in February, end of February, its first wave of ruble devaluation. And then, at the end of March, it was quite a strong stockpiling by our customers, driven by COVID pandemic. Namely, it was 2 days in March. It was 17th of March last year, and 27th of March last year. So these days, we experienced quite strong uplifts in sales, mostly in commodities, in sugar, in grains, in toilet paper, in sunflower oils. And, of course, now we treat this as high base for this year. Yeah. And we think this is, I would say, technical factors which will affect our relative performance over the last 2 weeks of March. While we're also looking at absolute amount of sales. And absolute amount of sales so far, what we see now, because we look at daily statistics, so in retail, we monitor sales daily. Absolute level of sales is very similar to what we saw in February. And also in our expectations, in our models, we expect that for next 2 weeks of March, we'll see the same levels with some adjustments on quality of days, calendar days. Like, because usually on Fridays, we have higher sales than on Mondays, on Saturdays, we have higher sales than on Fridays, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I think pretty much. Can I just sort of confirm, sorry, so you're saying that for Q1, you expect margins to be around 7%, and I guess what you're saying is that for 2021, the margin improvement should be in that sort of 15 basis points to 25 basis points range?
Yes, absolutely right.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely right. Yes.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thanks. Thanks. Bye.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star one. We will now take our next question from Marat Ibragimov from Gazprombank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the call. A very simple question on inflation, which you currently see at your, on your shelf, year-over-year. What kind of inflation, what the inflation rate you are seeing, because you're on the front line of this inflation pressure, and everybody is talking. And another question, is inflation decelerating in March or accelerating? Because a couple of days ago, Rosagro reported financial results, and they disclosed that January, February prices, price trend is upward. So we are seeing a acceleration of inflation on meat, on vegetable oil, et cetera. So could you please clarify? Thank you.
Marat, thanks a lot for your question. Speaking about inflation levels on our shelves in January and February, yes, in on-shelf price inflation in those months was a bit higher than in 4Q, which is absolutely in line with the countrywide trend evidenced by the figures reported by Rosstat. So you remember the headline food CPI for February was 7.0. So basically, our on-shelf price inflation is more or less at the same level. And in January and February, it was stable. It was not moving up or down. And our original expectations was that in March, we'll see the peak, at least due to high base. Last year, in January and February, Magnit was still in a deflationary environment on the shelves, while in March last year, we already saw slightly positive on-shelf inflation. Right. So looking at the development now in the recent weeks and days, we do see deceleration of on-shelf inflation, which is a good sign of correctness of our original expectations. So we were right. Inflation has peaked. And here we are in line with the forecast we hear from experts and state officials that annual food inflation and headline CPI are going to be lower than that what we saw in the last quarters of the last year. Thanks. Dima, please, if you want to add something.
Albert, I don't have a lot to add to this. It was quite a detailed answer. Maybe if you look at key drivers of inflation in recent months, they were mostly commodities and some fresh categories like eggs, oil, butter, and at lesser extent, non-food and cosmetics and detergents. Yeah. And given this is already the highest level, so it will be decelerate over the next couple of weeks and next month. Yep.
And we believe it's a good sign because consumers are not becoming much stronger, so if inflation stays at the mid-single-digit level, it's going to be supportive for retailers.
Okay, because you will accelerate like for less. And next question about your gross margin. In part, I think you should be delivering higher gross margin versus your closest peer because you have your own production. Although it doesn't cover significant part of your cost of goods sales, still you can save on that and deliver and have much stronger, not much stronger, but stronger gross margin. Can you please assess how many basis points does your own production add to your gross margin? Thank you.
Well, Marat, you're absolutely right. With own production facilities in our portfolio, we have, by the way, now 17 facilities, so 13 industrial production. It's mostly grocery production and some bakery production, and four agricultural production. It's cucumbers, tomatoes, mushrooms, and greens. We have really very nice competitive advantage and quite a good contributor to our margin mix. Yeah, because we control here not only selling price, but also costs of production. So we practically control the whole chain. With growing penetration of private label, which is sourced by own production, we expect further positive contribution from the fact that we have own production facilities. Given current share of own production products and sales of around, if not mistaken, up to 3%, contribution to gross margin with profitability of own production up to 30% is quite significant. And by the way, we also expect with growing private label share improvement in utilization of own production facilities, especially industrial, because at the moment they are not fully utilized, so average utilization is slightly below or slightly above 60%. So here we have, I would say, upside potential, not only from margin mix coming from selling price, but also from costs.
So to clarify, in total, own production accounts for about 3% of your total sales, and in average, the gross margin there is 30% higher than on other items, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's it. That's it.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. We now have a question from Ila from Bank of America. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, it's hi, Dmitry and Albert. It's Ila from Bank of America. Thank you very much for taking time. I have a question on the upcoming dividend proposal. Do you as a management team see capacity for a similar payout in absolute terms as we saw for the first 9 months if we take into account your investment priorities for 2021? Thank you.
Ilya, thanks for your question. First of all, we'll leave this opportunity to the board to discuss that, and you'll definitely be informed as soon as the board provides its recommendation to the shareholders on the second portion of dividends. Looking at the financial position of the company, given our strong cash generation, very low leverage, and as of now, we are looking at the basically same levels compared to the end of last year, and additional and further improvements of the working capital. We see scope for a very nice combination of faster expansion, investments in IT, redesign program, supply chain infrastructure, and continued strong dividend payments. But on the absolute terms, we need to definitely to wait for the board decision. Thanks.
Yeah, it's up the board to decide. So as management, we will make recommendation based on our performance and what Albert mentioned, cash generation, working capital improvement, CapEx plans, and balance sheet structure.
Yeah, that's very cool. Thanks. Thank you very much.
As there are no further questions at this time, I would like to turn the call back to your speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Cecil, thanks a lot. Everyone, thanks for listening. We'll speak to you next time when we report first quarter results in the end of April, and we aim to continue updating you on our recent trends with higher regularity. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect.